You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. I'm Joe Casey, and I'll be joined shortly by a co-host, Dennis Wissman. Our podcast today is about choice. Not just any choice, a big one. What will you choose when it comes to your retirement lifestyle? Our guest today is Mike Drack. He's the co-author of Retirement Heaven or Hell, Which Will You Choose? Mike Drack is a 40-year veteran of the financial service industry and lives with his wife, Melina, who's an investment advisor in Toronto, Canada. He started his Victory Lap Retirement in 2014 and is busy helping others transition into their own personal versions. You'll find a link to his website, victorylapretirement.com, in our show notes. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Joe.
So I'd like to start off with asking for your observations on how has retirement changed since you retired way back in those simpler times in 2014?
Well, to be honest, back when I retired, I really didn't have a good handle on retirement. I didn't understand what it really meant. I thought the main goal was to save up a lot of money and you would automatically have a great retirement. And I found that that was a big mistake to think like that. I thought retirement would solve all your problems, and I learned that it doesn't. You're still going to have the same problems after you retire. And I think the big game changer is longevity. We're talking more about living longer and how we're going to fill that extra time that we have. And so retirement, we're seeing it change right before our eyes because traditional full-stop retirement doesn't seem to work anymore for most people.
You mentioned in one of your blogs that you were forced to leave, or you're forced to leave your job. And how's that different from somebody who just starts to do this on their own, in your perspective?
Well, I think it's just that they avoid the shock of transition because I was thrown into it. It's like you're being cast out into the wilderness and you lose connection with the tribe that I was with for 36 years. And you're just kind of sitting there. Sure, you have a severance check in your pocket to make you feel a little bit better. But you're lost and you're disconnected, and it can be tough for a lot of people.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be a lot harder, especially less prepared, not your choice. That's kind of what I'm hearing. Yeah, thanks.
So, Mike, in your experience, what are the three phases of retirement that you see and write about in your book?
Well, I think everyone experiences retirement at the beginning as a great thing because you don't have to get up early anymore and set an alarm, and you don't have to do that long commute to work, and you don't have to work hard throughout the day and be exhausted at the end of the day. And even, you know, probably the best thing is you don't have to take orders anymore from a boss or a company or things like that. You're free as a bird to do whatever you want. And life is just wonderful for a period of time. But at some point, and this is the key point here, is that some retirees like myself who are growth oriented or transgender type people that have a need to give back to their community in some fashion are going to feel that something's missing in their lives. And they need to find a way to satisfy their needs or they're not going to be happy in retirement.
So I'm going to ask you the question that everyone who listened to the intro is wondering about. How does someone get to retirement heaven? And how do you stay out of retirement hell?
To avoid going to retirement hell, number one, don't get pushed out by your employer. Right. Not, you know, because if you do, odds are you're going to end up in retirement hell like I did. But to avoid it, for most people, it comes down to preparation and awareness and being prepared for retirement transition, understanding how retirement works and what non-financial challenges you're going to be facing and figuring out ways of dealing with them. And it takes a period of time to do that. And we urge people to start working on their plans for retirement transition 3 to 5 years before they actually retire. So they have something to retire to. So they know what type of lifestyle they want to enjoy in retirement retirement that could last just as long as their working years, and to know what they want to do when they actually do retire so they can hit the ground running and not waste a lot of precious retirement time like I did.
Mike, have you seen any people in your experience that have really done this well? And this is the preparing part, the 3 to 5 years before. What are they typically doing during that time?
Well, what they're trying to do is figure out, really, they do a lot of soul searching and reflection, and they try to figure out what their values are, what their needs are. Everyone has different needs that need to be satisfied, and what things make them happy, because they want to replicate that in retirement. And so they do a lot of planning like that, and they say, okay, I'm going to create this lifestyle that I really enjoy. And what we encourage them to do is come up with maybe up to 3 different types of lifestyle prototypes that they can test out and see how they work and find the best solution for them. And then what we also encourage them then to do is then to cost out that future lifestyle that they want to enjoy, cost it out to the last penny. So they can go back to their financial advisor and say, look, I figured it out. This is exactly the lifestyle I want to enjoy in retirement. And this is how much it's going to cost me. And for example, say a person comes and says, I need $80,000 after tax to finance that lifestyle they want. And the advisor, it's easy for them. They just plug the number in the computer and they can come back and say, guess what? Either you have enough money or you don't. And it gives them something, specific target to work towards. So they know how much money they need to finance that lifestyle, and then they can adjust to it. So maybe they have to work part-time in retirement, or maybe they can cut back on that lifestyle a little bit, cut out some expenses. But they know exactly what they're working with, and it makes retirement planning so much easier.
Makes sense. Thanks.
So Mike, you mentioned non-financial challenges. What's the biggest one that you see people grapple with, and what was the biggest one for you?
The biggest one for me was finding purpose, finding a sufficient purpose in retirement so I wouldn't get bored and I wouldn't get frustrated. And I had a good reason to get out of bed in the morning. That took a lot of time. And that was probably one of the most important ones. But there's other ones too there that are equally as important. If you think about the importance of relationships, that's the key factor in focusing on your health, because without having good health, it doesn't matter how much money you have. You're not going to enjoy yourself in retirement. And also, having a good attitude, so important. It all comes down to how you look at retirement and what you think about it. If you think retirement is going to be great, odds are it will be. But if you look at it as a terrible period, when you're going to get old and age fast and it's going to suck, well, guess what? It will. So those are important things that I had to go over myself.
I've heard somewhere that could be either heaven or hell, depending on your attitude and your preparation.
It's true. So true.
So you mentioned purpose. That's one of our key topics. And I'm curious about what's your opinion about how people can find a new purpose in retirement?
Well, I outline that in the book, the steps that I went through to figure it out. And basically, it comes back to reconnecting with yourself. When I worked in my corporate job, I wasn't Mike Drack. I was someone else. I was like a corporate employee that had to walk and speak and think like banking employees do. I wasn't my true self, and I wasn't doing things that really made me happy. I was doing them for a paycheck so I could support my family. So what I had to do when I was trying to figure out purpose for me was trying to figure out what are the things that I really value? What are the things that I really enjoy doing? What are the things that put me in a state of flow where time flies by and I'm really enjoying myself? So I had to think about those things and connect everything together. One thing I found that really helped me out, I was using this thing called the Ikigai diagram, where you connect these 3 different spheres and you can figure out a job for yourself that either can generate some money or volunteer work that will satisfy these needs in you too. So that took a while, but once I figured that out, I was off to the races. Life was pretty good.
So what has the pandemic taught you about retirement?
It taught me a lot. I'm sorry I laugh about it because it's just amazing. You think about it, we spent, what, a year and a half in lockdown? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you some of the quick things it taught me. It taught me the importance of our relationships with family and friends. And everyone experienced this throughout the world. When we are self-isolated and we couldn't see our families and we couldn't hug and do those things. And it was hard. And we realized how important it is to have people in our life, people that love us and people that we love. It's critical to our happiness. And it's been proven by all kinds of studies. That was very important to me. And also, it showed us the importance of purpose, because if you couldn't work from home during the pandemic, you lost your mind, because there wasn't much in the way of doing things other than trying to survive or taking the dog out for another walk around the block. And I'm sure that my dog was getting tired of it, because that's all I was really doing for a period of time. It showed you that you need something fulfilling and meaningful to do, even in retirement. And a lot of people aren't aware of that. And that's what the pandemic taught us. Hey, you need purpose. You better find purpose. And the pandemic also taught us the importance of having a good attitude. People of a good attitude made it through the pandemic in relatively good shape. You see people coming out of the pandemic in better shape than they went in the pandemic, right? The people are losing weight. They're working out in their own home gyms and things like that. They're watching what we eat. And so many other people are eating foods they shouldn't. They're coming out of the pandemic 30 pounds heavier, along with maybe a drinking problem, because they think that can make all their problems go away. And those are things that we learned from the pandemic, those important things.
Sounds like making an excellent point, I feel anyway, that retiring on the terms you want to really enjoy your freedom and really get meaning out of your life takes work. This takes a lot of work, yeah. That's what I'm hearing through this. I mean, because some people just can take the And they can take the easy road and they can wind up in retirement hell. And then a few years and they go, what's going on? And then they're doing that. So it's important for people to realize that this is work. Obviously, I see you feel the same way.
Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to open people's eyes to this, the need for this planning, and to be aware of what they're going to be facing so they can go properly prepared into retirement and have a great time. You brought up a very good point about freedom. People don't realize when you retire, you're free. You're free to do whatever you want. Many times the kids have left the house, you're empty nesters. There's nothing holding you back from doing whatever you want to do. And people need to take advantage of that and do the things they couldn't do when they were working full time in their careers. But a lot of people don't wake up to that. They think they buy into what the advertisers are telling them, that, oh, they're supposed to take it easy and play safe and enjoy a life of leisure. But that's going to kill them. That's going to kill them fast. And that's what's, it's important to be aware of that.
So, Mike, you mentioned the word tribe before and talking about relationships and social connections, as you mentioned, are so important. How can people find a new tribe in retirement?
Well, what you want to do is think about things that maybe you want to accomplish, things that you want to learn or do better at, and align tribes with those interests. Myself, I wanted to get in shape, so I joined a swimming tribe. Pre-pandemic, we would swim 3 times a week at the community pool. I joined a bike tribe, so I would go out and ride every Sunday for a couple hours with people. And the beauty of it, too, is it's not just men. It's men and women, and it's younger people and older people. And at the end of the bike ride, we would sit down and we would talk about life. And it was interesting to hear the young people's views on it and the older people's views on it, women views and men views, and it is very interesting. And you can also join tribes to learn new skills. Maybe you want to learn to be a writer, so you can join a writing class. Or maybe you want to become a public speaker, so you can join Toastmasters. Or maybe you want to learn to take pictures, so you can join a photography tribe. There's so many different tribes, and they're so good, as you said, Joe, because they help you meet your socialization needs, which are so important.
You brought up something that I think people really underestimate the power of, perhaps, and that is, you mentioned meeting people of all different ages. And meeting people younger than you and older than you, and it helps you really stay relevant and engaged.
It does. It gets me so excited, because when you deal with young people, some of their youngness rubs off on you.
Yeah.
And when you deal with older people, what do you do is I'm using them as role models for myself. So I'm looking at 80-year-olds and 90-year-olds, and I'm looking at what they're doing. And some of them are doing some amazing things. And I'm saying, okay, when I turn 80, I want to be like them. So how can I get there? What do I need to put in place to get me there so I can enjoy the type of lifestyle they're doing? And these people aren't retired, believe me. They're doing some amazing things. They're starting their own businesses and things like that. They're being so creative, but we don't talk about them much. And that's the kind of messaging we want to get out too, is find good role models. And we need to talk about these role models more. I call them retirement rebels, and be excited about them and use them as guides to get us to where we want to go. I tell you, and I've been doing this, I picked up this habit of looking at the obituaries in the newspapers during the pandemic. And I looked for people that have lived a long time, up to 100 years or so. And I noticed so many times that work, some form of work, either paid or volunteer work, was a big part of their lives. And they continued that on late in their lives. I think it almost serves as a fountain of youth for people, provided it's the right work that they love to do.
Yeah, that's such a great point. Yes, there's got to be something you really find meaning in. That's a great point. Thank you, Mark.
My pleasure.
I appreciate you bringing that up. It's a great catch on your part going through the obituaries, because a lot of times people are so eager to get away from work that they forget all the things it gives them. It's not just the money.
That's right. That's right. And that comes down to purpose again. And they have great purpose in their lives. And like I said, that's a fountain of youth.
And the people I see that thrive, they really want to still do something, not the same thing maybe, something adjacent, but something different, something that gives them meaning, as you're talking about. That's the biggest thing I see as well.
That's right. And you have to appreciate the two different types of people. So you have growth-oriented. They want to do something so they improve themselves, so they can reach their own potential. And then you have the givers, the ones that want to find a way of giving back to their community in some fashion. And you saw this during the retirement when a lot of boomers put up their hand and they volunteered to work at food banks or vaccination centers, or they volunteered to help out their elderly neighbors who were scared to go to the stores and do their own shopping. So you saw all this come to light, and that's where retirement's going. This is the kind of lifestyle we want to enjoy, right?
So you were talking about your activities and how you found some new tribes by a biking club, a swimming club. And that reminded me that I read somewhere that you were also training for a triathlon and just wanted to hire a coach. So being a coach of one sort or another, I was curious about your experience and what was the decision like to hire a coach, and what's that been like? How is it benefiting you?
Okay, so let me go back to square one, because this is where I finally woke up and I got a little bit smarter. So as you get older, you can get smarter. When I struggled in retirement hell and I tried to figure stuff out for myself, it took me a lot of time and it caused me a lot of stress and anxiety. And I decided I wanted to get healthy again. So I set a huge goal of attempting Ironman Cozumel in November 2022. But I said to myself, I don't want to cause myself a lot of stress and try to figure things out on my own and do all that work. Why can't I have someone coach me? Someone that's been there, gone through the same experience, knows the ropes, knows how to guide me. So I don't have to worry about things. Basically, we just have a conversation. They tell me what I need to do to prepare, and I do it. And then I thought, well, that works the same way for retirement. It would have been such a smart thing for me to engage a coach when I was in retirement hell. The problem was, back then, I didn't know there was such a thing as a retirement coach. And that's what, like, part of the mission I have these days is telling people, hey, there's these great people out there, retirement coaches, that can help you get through this thing if you're struggling or if you find yourself in retirement hell because you got pushed out by your employer. And I think it's so important to understand that, and it's so well worth the money because it will save you a lot of grief.
And the thing that I always mention to people is that can actually get you to where you want to go faster. Because it takes, on average, according to one study, 2.5 years for people who retire to get engaged in something new. By another set of research, it's 4.5 years. And by having a partner that can help focus you and guide that exploration. It can get you there a little faster. And people say, well, maybe I don't want to get there faster. Well, we don't know how much time we have. So if you think about your assets and your portfolio, you've got the financial side, the time side, you really have to make the most of it while you have it. So getting faster could be a big advantage.
Well, it's huge. And I'll tell you something, Joe. I've been going through retirement transition. I'm almost finished. And it's been 6 years. And I tell you, it would have been so smart to engage a coach. You know, when you're in that time period, 3 to 5 years before you're going to retire, to start getting coaching at that point and start putting things together and start thinking about retirement differently, looking at it differently, so you can cover out the big rocks in retirement and make sure that all the bases are covered. You know exactly where you're going. It's money well spent. And yes, it will save you a lot of time and anxiety. And time's a big thing. Because you got to remember, it's setting you up for the next 30 years of your life. That's huge. And if you do it right, you're going to have a wonderful 30 years. But if you do it wrong, if you approach it incorrectly or you make mistakes, it's going to cost you. And you could end up having a terrible retirement.
That 30-year point's a very good one, because a lot of what we come to the table with thinking about retirement is based on the old model, where it used to be 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, and you know, the rocking chair version, and just relaxation. Relaxation should be part of retirement, but it probably shouldn't be job one for many people. And you have to prepare differently if you've got a 20 to 30 year retirement. That's a terrible thing to waste if you can't get it, but it's good. Sure.
Yeah. And Joe, if I could jump in, that's what people aren't aware of, because they think when you retire, you're going to be the same person for 30 years. You're not. You're going to keep continuing to change. And you're going to keep becoming a different person over time. And it's important to understand that, to know what kind of person you want to become. Because that's where you're going to still becoming someone different than you are before you retire. So you want to be able to sit down and say, okay, this is the kind of person I want to become. This is the lifestyle I want that person to enjoy, and start putting those things in place, because you're setting yourself up for a 30-year payoff, right? And you got to do it right. And that's why I say it takes a lot of planning, proper planning.
So, Mike, for people listening who are planning for retirement, preparing for retirement, just at that moment where they're thinking about it, it's like when you get in your car and you look in the mirror and it says objects may be closer than they appear. What's one key piece of advice you'd leave them with?
I would suggest to them that they start preparing for retirement, like I've said a couple of times on this podcast, 3 to 5 years prior to leaving work, and to start putting the work in and doing the research and reading some books on the subject and considering getting a retirement coach in place to make sure you cover off all the bases. I think that's so important. More people are starting to do it. We're starting to see the financial services industry change and provide more non-financial retirement guidance, but it's not there yet. And people are going to fall, you know, in the gaps, and it's going to cost them. So that's the messaging we're trying to get out, is start to prepare yourself for transition and have a good plan and know what you want to transition to in retirement. You have to have a clear picture.
I would also imagine that, especially if you examine the kind of person you are, for example, I believe that type A people traditionally can have a much harder time with this if they're not really putting the work in and doing the planning, like you just mentioned, which is, I think, is critical. Do you find that?
Well, I think it's important to understand that not all retirees are the same, number one. Unlike the, you know, advertisers assume we're all the same, we want the same things in retirement, and that's wrong. And yes, it's important to know what kind of person you are. Are you growth oriented? Are you type A? Do you need to keep setting challenging goals in retirement? Some people don't want to. Comfort oriented people just want to sit back, take it easy, and play safe. And that works for them, but it's not going to work for the type A. And it's not going to work for the people that need to find ways of giving back to the community. They need to find those ways, and they need to do that, or they're not going to be happy in retirement. There's a lot more diversity in retirement types than we're aware of. We need to bring that out and say, okay, let's really dig down and find out what kind of person you are, what things you value, what specific needs that you have that need to be satisfied in retirement, and make sure we can satisfy those things in your new retirement lifestyle. Or you're not going to be happy. You're going to always have problems. You're always going to feel there's something missing. And that's not a good way to go through retirement.
I'm glad you emphasized that. The uniqueness of people really rears itself in this time of life. That's a really important reminder. Thanks.
It's a great point. Something I see every day in working with people, how different their stories become. Because if you think about it, you've got the pen to write that next chapter, 2, 3, 4, and everyone's going to have a different pathway. Also, as you pointed out, based on values, because we have some core values that don't change over our lifetime, but there are some things that get added. There are some things that morph. There are things that become more important in this phase and others that fade a little bit, that are, they're still there, but they're less important. And it's really getting that in sync and then looking at what do you want it to be like? Who do you want to be in this phase of life? And people are going to have very different interests. So Dennis picked up on that very early in our work on this. And I think that's really, really a key thing. Everyone's different.
No, and that's on point, Joe, because some of our values will change once we retire. And some of our beliefs will change too, based on new experiences we're having. But it's important to understand, like, when I was in my primary career as a banker, I was a banker. So I acted like a banker and I talked like a banker, and my values didn't mean much, even if they were out of line with the corporation, because I needed the job. So I had to toe the line and act like they wanted me to act. And when you retire, you're going to need to go back to who your real self is, your authentic self. And that's so important. And then do things that will make the real you happy. And that's what longevity is all about. Longevity, you know, happy people live longer than other people. So you want to do happy things. You want to do the things that will make you happy and feel that you're relevant and you're doing meaningful things, and people need you for whatever reason.
It's good to live longer, but it's especially good to be happy along the way, or it's a much easier ride, I would think.
Oh, that's right. And that's what we're trying to drive up, is to identify what makes you happy. You know, what makes Joe happy? It will be different than what makes Mike happy, right? And to do those unique things. But you'd be surprised how many people forget what makes them really happy.
Yes. I find that sometimes in the coaching work, where many times I'll actually end up taking people back. I tend to look forward and talk about their aspirations. But on occasion, I'll take them back into, what did you like to do most before you were a lawyer, before you were a consultant or banker or anything, any other profession? There was a time, right, when you did different things, and really go decade by decade just to pick out those things. And they actually, in some cases, end up picking them up again, or it spurs a new interest that they start to investigate and experiment with. And sometimes just really having that open-mindedness to experimenting and taking on new things, trying new things. You get some you don't like, it confirms that, but you pick up some things that may really have some legs.
You know, I always say, how do you know you have a passion for something if you've never tried it? You develop passion after you've tried it and experienced it. And people don't understand that connection. And one story I bumped into, and I love this because I tell people, hey, you got to think about these things. I know one gentleman, when he was younger, you know, he loved to paint oil paintings. And one day his father gave him the talk, and he said, son, I know you enjoy doing this, but you got to get serious now, because at some point you want to get married, you want to raise a family, and you're not going to be able to do that by selling oil paintings. You have to get a real job. You have to get a real education. And the person listened to his father, went back to school, became a chemical engineer, you know, got married and worked there for 36 years. And then he was packaged up just like I was. And he ended up taking the severance check, and his wife supported him, which is important. And he said, I like to use a portion of it to convert our loft in an art studio, and I like to start painting again. And believe it or not, Joe, he's making more money today, and he's happier than ever than he did in that corporate job that he was in. And that's what we're telling people. Dennis, you made the point about freedom. We're saying, okay, use your freedom think about the things that you were blocked from doing, maybe the things that you love to do, and start looking at them again to see maybe if you could start doing those things again. Because all the doors are open to you again. Nothing's closed. And it's up to you what you want to try.
Mike, thanks so much. This has been a great conversation. A lot of ideas that people can benefit from and really appreciate it. Your book is Retirement Heaven or Hell, Which Will You Choose? And it really puts it out there. It really is a choice. It's about attitude and about purpose. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure, Joe. And thank you, Dennis, also.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast with our guest, Mike Drack. Great exchange and a great conversation. Joe, what were your takeaways from today?
Well, it was great to talk with Mike again. And I think that first thing that jumped out to me was his points about longevity, because they really set the stage for a different way of approaching planning for retirement. Meaning, the old model, retirement lasted 6, 7, 8, 10 years. And so it was a different type of approach. Now we're talking about 20 or 30 years or more. So it requires a different type of preparation. And I thought that was key. He also made a very good point about don't get fooled by the honeymoon period where everything seems great, but there aren't too many 20-year retirements as tempting as they sound like to actually be full vacation mode. So I thought that was key. And he really leaves you thinking you want to take charge of it. Take some time off, recharge your batteries, but then take charge of this next phase. And he outlined a process that I see unfold in my work with clients that there's work involved. It's not heavy lifting. It's more starting with reflection, particularly about your values and what's most important to you going forward. And then really getting involved in some activities. I call them experiments, where you start to come up with things that you know you really like, some you don't. And that often leads to what he talked about and what we talk about all the time, purpose. I find people more often than not that I work with come up with a multi-purpose retirement. Sometimes one will emerge. How about you, Dennis?
Well, I'm glad you brought up and emphasized that process, Joe, that reflection, values, experimenting. I see the same thing with people. I think this is really helps people. That reflection period helps them discover a lot about themselves. And Mike brought up the point about we change over time. So I clearly see the benefit of getting some help with this if you're not sure what to do, the benefit of making that investment in yourself and getting somebody that can take you through this process. Because I think the process also can carry you through different parts of your retirement journey. I'm a big proponent of that. I think it was great that he brought that up. The second thing I would mention is the importance of role modeling. One of our first podcasts with Thelma Reese, she did a great job talking about the importance of role models in our lives. Well, Mike brought it up, and this context was in the social connections with people, and he spent time talking about interacting with people younger than you, you can learn a lot from, and vice versa, and also people older than you, because they can be your role models for retirement. The things that they want to accomplish, they've been through this, they're going ahead of you a little bit. So you might be able to find people, and you surely will, if you build those social connections and people that give you that experience. So it's the journey. It's not the actual activity itself. I know Mike was involved in swimming and biking, but it was the social interaction. It was the time he spent with people that became so critically important. So I think that should be part of everyone's journey and everyone's planning. Start early, engage yourself with some good support, perhaps a good coach, select your tribe, and enjoy your freedom.
And thank you for listening to Retirement Wisdom Podcast. Our mission is to help people think differently about planning for retirement so they can plan smarter and retire smarter. Retiring at the beginning can seem like an end, but it's really the new beginning of your next chapter. It's really a time for new possibilities and some new opportunities you might not even be considering yet. But the big question is always, where do you start? And our coaching process helps you design a new vision of life on your own terms, by helping you uncover what really matters most to you now and help you build a roadmap to your future. So we think you can start here, Retirement Wisdom, where we help you design your new life.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.